This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. I'm certified in the state of New York. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. Hey, I'm taking your questions. If you want to email me a question or a topic of interest, it's radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. And also, that's the email where I stand corrected. Hey, I've got an email from Eric. On the Layla Weighs In podcast, Layla said that anemia causes an elevation of hemoglobin A1C. I think that was a misstatement. Iron deficiency anemia causes a low hemoglobin A1C. Eric, you are correct. I did misspeak. I misspoke. And thank you for pointing this out to me. On the April 26th podcast, I talked about a study where hemoglobin A1C often misses the mark when it comes to diagnosing diabetes. If you haven't already listened to it, go and listen to it. But the mistake I made, and Eric is correct, the mistake I made is I said that anemia can cause an abnormal rise, an artificial rise in A1C. It's the other way around. If you have anemia, it will cause lower A1C. For those people out there then who have high blood sugar issues, prediabetes, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and you also have anemia, and you're getting a lower or normal A1C, you cannot trust that number. Because the anemia is throwing it off. It is falsely lowering that A1C. It's not a true number. So, Eric, thank you very much for pointing this out to me. And again, for those of you listening, you can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. Now, let me move on to some more goings on here. High rates of B vitamin deficiency in teens with mental illness. This is coming out of Warsaw, Poland. This is from April 10th. Levels of vitamin B9. Layla, what is vitamin B9? I've never heard of vitamin B9. B9 is also known as folate. Levels of vitamin B9 and B12 deficiency are high in children and particularly adolescents with psychiatric disorders, say Spanish researchers. Spanish researchers in Warsaw, Poland? Okay. They suggested that such deficiencies may affect neurodevelopment and called for the problem to be addressed. This is very interesting. You know, many of our B vitamins are responsible for energy, but for neurological function, especially something like B12. And folate is also very important. In pregnant women, it can prevent neural tube defects in their offspring. So folate is very, very important. So Gerard Diaz, MD, Department of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, Hospital Clinic of Barcelona, Spain, retrospectively evaluated almost 780 young people with with psychiatric disorders who were treated in their unit during a 3-year period. They found that overall, about 40% of patients were deficient in vitamin B9, which is folate. B9 is folate. So they found that overall, about 40% of patients were deficient in B9, and approximately 20% were deficient in vitamin B12. Just more than 10% were deficient in both vitamins. Although there were generally no differences in vitamin deficiency between patients and those without psychotic symptoms, patients with depressive symptoms were more likely than others to be deficient in vitamin B12. These findings were presented at the European Psychiatric Association 2019 Congress. So it appears that this is a neglected problem. Previous research published in Schizophrenia Bulletin and reported by Medscape Medical News shows a link between first episode psychosis and low levels of folate, that's the vitamin B9 they were talking about, and low levels of vitamin D. See, vitamin D is important for so many things. Dr. Diaz told the conference delegates that his findings are, quote, very important because they highlight a problem, end quote, that has been neglected in this patient population. He underlined in particular the fact that the proportion of adolescents who are deficient in vitamin B9 and B12 is double that of children, noting that the numbers need to change. Dr. Diaz began by pointing out that both vitamins B9 and B12 are involved in glutathione and myelination pathways, and that they have been shown to be involved in neuroplasticity and preservation of neuronal integrity. So both folate, which is vitamin B9 and B12, they're involved in glutathione. We need these important vitamins for glutathione synthesis. Glutathione is the master antioxidant in the body responsible for detoxification. Very important. And myelination pathways, you need B12. The myelin sheath is that fatty sheath covering your nerve cells that help them to maintain their integrity and fire correctly. And therefore, they are involved in neuroplasticity and preservation of brain function, of neuronal integrity. So deficiencies in these two vitamins led to hyperhomocysteinemia, that's a high homocysteine, which has been linked to neurovascular and neurodegenerative disorders and psychiatric disorders, including schizophrenia and affective disorders, as well as cognitive impairment. I'm always telling all my patients, and I'm always looking for a high homocysteine, if they're concerned about stroke risk, or they have a family history of cardiovascular disease, or they're concerned about bone fracture, or they have a family history of dementia, we're always looking for homocysteine levels and making sure that they're in the normal range. We like to see the number under 9, but there are many integrative doctors out there who like to see that number even lower than that, lower than 7 even. So deficiencies in folate and B12 lead to a high homocysteine. What does homocysteine need to normalize? Folate and B12, as well as B6, trimethylglycine. All of these are important for normal homocysteine. You want that homocysteine to convert back to methionine, which is what it's supposed to do when it's all functioning correctly. So deficiencies in these two vitamins led to high homocysteine, which has been linked to neurovascular and neurodegenerative disorders, psychiatric disorders, including schizophrenia and affective disorders, and cognitive impairment. In the fetal and postnatal period, vitamin deficiencies are associated with demyelination and impairment of neurodevelopment, as well as the development of psychotic and affective disorders. These vitamin deficiencies are associated with demyelination. That myelin sheath is not being formed in the fetal and postnatal period, the period after birth. Myelination is not quite right there when there are these deficiencies in folate and vitamin B12, and there is a reason. Dr. Diaz added that during childhood and adolescence, the brain undergoes synaptic pruning and reconstruction, and the development of learning and memory circuits and executive functions, making it particularly vulnerable. Yeah. To determine levels of deficiency of vitamin B9 and B12, the investigators retrospectively examined the records of all child and adolescent psychiatric inpatients between the years 2015 and 2017 at their center. The study included 779 individuals. The investigators gathered data on anthropometric variables as well as clinical and blood test results. Almost 40% of the sample were female, and the vast majority, about 88%, were adolescents at the time of admission. Overall, the mean age was 15 years old, and the age range was between 7 and about 18 years. Vitamin B9 deficiency was detected in 42% of the patients, and 19% were deficient in vitamin B12. I think this is significant. 11% were deficient in both vitamins. So a surprise finding with regard to eating disorder. Female patients had significantly lower mean vitamin B9 levels than males. There were no other significant sex-related differences. And adolescents were substantially more likely than children to be deficient in vitamin B9. The same pattern was found for vitamin B12. Average levels of vitamin B9 were significantly higher in children than adolescents, as were the levels of B12 average. Now, you have to consider that children are probably eating better than adolescents. Adolescents basically let loose. They eat whatever they want. But children are a little more controlled by their parents with regard to what they're eating, what food is made available to them. But adolescents, you know, have free will and can go and do as they please. When researchers examined individual psychiatric diagnoses, they were surprised to find there were no significant differences in the proportion of patients with vitamin B9 or B12 deficiency between those with and those without psychotic symptoms. However, B12 levels were significantly lower in children and adolescents who had psychotic symptoms than in those without psychotic symptoms. Patients with eating disorders were significantly less likely to be deficient in vitamin B9 than those without eating disorders, which is very interesting. You know, when you think of eating disorder, you think immediately anorexia, restricting, weight loss, all of them, you would expect to see a deficiency. But they found that patients with eating disorders were significantly less likely to be deficient in folate than those without eating disorders. And anorexia, you know, is not the only eating disorder out there. There's binge eating disorder. There's all of that. So They were also less likely than patients without eating disorders to be deficient in vitamin B12. Interesting. Dr. Diaz said that the finding regarding patients with eating disorders was a surprise, but suggested that it could be explained by the greater use of dietary supplements than in other patients because of their follow-up in the psychiatry unit. Well, that could explain it. And there would be your confounder, that the reason where they came up with such a conclusion, right? So, in general, the investigators found significant global differences between diagnostic groups in levels of vitamin B9 deficiency and mean vitamin B levels. Wow. For vitamin B12 deficiency, the difference between diagnostic groups was less pronounced. However, in patients with depression, levels of vitamin B12 deficiency tended to be higher than in other groups. There were also significant global differences in average B12 levels between diagnostic groups. You know, it's standard practice that Dr. Hoffman and myself, we look for deficiencies first in any medical condition, but especially in something like mood disorders, because mood disorders can be brought on by deficiencies, number one, not just in folate and B12, but the other B vitamins possibly. Also, in deficiencies in magnesium. A very acute deficiency of magnesium could cause a phobia, believe it or not. Or those with anxiety, it's a little bit of something that feeds onto itself. Feeling anxious uses up a lot of magnesium, right? But a low magnesium level to begin with can cause anxiety. So it's a little bit of a vicious cycle or circle, as some people say. So some comments from the Institute of Psychiatry and Neurology said that vitamin deficiency in children and adolescents is important. Absolutely. And any time, you know, a presentation like this of a mental disorder, a psychiatric disorder, a psychotic episode, you got to look at deficiencies. You must. It was pointed out that the patients were not compared with the child and adolescent population who did not have psychiatric disorders. How many of them are deficient in the rest of the population was a question that was asked in this commentary, noting that it would also be important to examine the socio-demographic characteristics of the young people included in the study. Agreed. And following the presentation, a question was asked of Dr. Diaz, what would he recommend on the basis of these findings? And he said that the study initially assessed iron, vitamin D levels, as well as child-related parameters, and found deficits on all the measures they evaluated. Vitamin deficiency, Dr. Diaz says, needs to be taken into account and it needs to be supplemented. We've seen the correlation with psychiatric disorders and with neurodevelopmental impairment. It needs to be taken care of. I think as a nutritionist, deficiency is the first place I look. And in terms of other problems with regard to food, where I think that symptoms may be stemming from, I like to then look at the foods being eaten, the complete diet history. These children and adolescents who are presenting with psychiatric problems also need to be assessed, not just for micronutrient deficiencies like vitamins B9 and vitamins B12. Vitamin D levels should be looked at, iron levels, magnesium levels should be looked at, food allergies should be looked at very, very strongly. Really, gluten, dairy being primary culprits, but listen, it could be food allergy to any amount of foods. And when you think of food allergy, don't immediately think of the kid with a peanut allergy breaking out in hives or anaphylaxis. Food allergy, food intolerance, idiosyncratic food intolerance, genetic food intolerance can present as many symptoms, a variety of symptoms, including psychiatric. So, very important to remember, we are one body. It's not just this is something happening in the mind. Your brain, your mind is part of your body. It is holistic to look at the entire body. What's happening? What are the deficiencies? What are the foods that are causing problems? What about the environment? What toxic exposures are there in the patient's life? All of that. Not just ruling out the obvious, like, you know, alcohol abuse or drug abuse or something else. Those could also cause psychotic breaks and psychiatric symptoms, especially things like depression. So this is all important information. And it's good that they looked at this. They looked at for deficiencies in psychiatric conditions. In my estimation, this isn't being done often enough. And I remember when I was first a dietetic intern, or just after, and one of my first roles as a hospital dietitian, and I was covering many units. One of them was psychiatric. And I remember having a long conversation with the psychiatrist there about treatment with niacin, vitamin B3, for schizophrenia and psychosis. We had a very long, interesting conversation about that. And that's a topic maybe for another podcast, but high-dose niacin therapy is something I believe that's been done, I think with some success, but a lot of supervision is needed because a lot of high-dose niacin can adversely affect the liver. So do not undertake this on your own. So I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.